This conference will now be recorded.
So what I was saying is we have actually now changed. We haven't yet had their onboarding, but we have now got a virtual onboarding in place, which is something we did for the first time. So, you know, we've kind of had a bit of a dry run with some experienced hires, which basically means we're ready for that to happen in September when they join. But yeah, that's really what's been the changes, and from our end, there's not really been much of a pause activity. We're still continuing to build relationships with our colleges, universities, and, you know, other providers. In fact, we've recently had some requests for some autumn fairs, which are all going to be virtual. So we are still progressing ahead. I think it's just in a very virtual environment. So that's pretty much what we're doing at our end at the moment. That's been the biggest change from having gone face to face to virtual.
Okay. And you're a global firm, aren't you? You're affiliated with Microsoft.
That's correct. So we are a joint venture between Accenture and Microsoft.
Yeah.
And yes, we are global, but our intakes vary per geography. So for example, some of my European colleagues have much larger apprentice intakes or intern intakes as compared to me, and I may have bigger grad intakes than them. So yes, we do operate under a very similar function, but our sort of numbers vary per geography.
Okay, and how's the UK division compared to other divisions?
Well, I have to admit, I think as compared to some of the countries, in UK has been a lot more stable.
Right.
I am aware of geographies where they were unable to go ahead with their planned apprentices or interns, not so much on the grad side. So I think, unfortunately, that, you know, has hit some countries like Italy, you know, even France, for example. But yeah, so I think from a stability perspective, UK are very, very cautious. My stakeholders will completely go back to a traditional approach. But I think they've done really well this year because they've not been that worried as they would be in usual years. So yeah, and plus obviously, you know, I think that the training learning academy team has really sort of pulled out all stops to ensure that, you know, we've got everything available for them. If things are to be continued, you know, virtually, because a lot of their sessions when the grads join us particularly are quite in-house and office-based, the training programs. So that's the kind of stuff that, you know, they've sort of really, I can see what's going on in the background. So they're really working very hard there.
Right. And being a technical firm, your business hasn't been affected as much as, say, hospitality or tourism or aviation.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think as a business, yes, we haven't been affected that much. In fact, you know, we had a really big surge in client requirements because we were helping NHS implement Microsoft Teams. So there was like a sudden surge, and I can't remember what the exact, I think 1.2 million accounts or something we you know, did in like 3 months. But no, we have had impact in certain business areas. So for example, some of our clients are from the hospitality industry. And airlines. So from a sales perspective, we are segregated by way of client industry. So yes, those areas have been impacted, but it's kind of then, you know, in a way, for lack of a better word, made up in other areas like sort of, you know, pharma and other client sectors, which have actually seen almost like a bit of like a boom given the current scenario. So we have been able to adapt to it being a tech firm. So that's really where our current where the current situation is. Plus the business, I think one thing the grads, what we've been able to give them is a lot of transparency, because yes, they were very worried and, you know, what's going to happen. So we've had about, I think it's once a week, or maybe it's definitely once a week, where the general manager comes on Teams Live, and it's very informal but transparent talk, which tells us like what the pipeline is looking like. And it is stuff that we can actually share with, you know, new joiners. So we've been constantly getting them. In fact, we've had a new cohort of grads join those calls, which is sort of, so it's not just, you know, as a recruiter or my team or I'm telling them, it's the hearing from the leaders. So that actually, we've got some really good feedback. We've never done something like that before. Like, so that's sort of helped as well in some way.
Yeah, sounds good. You've kept them engaged throughout the process. So that's wonderful.
Yeah, we did a pub quiz with them last month, and we've got a robot building something happening next month. So yeah, we're really thinking, you know, outside the box here, keeping them engaged.
Good. No, that sounds excellent. Thank you very much for that, Risha. Perhaps we can move on to Kate now, Knight Frank, about how this has affected the graduate recruitment there. Now, obviously, there's a lot of face-to-face interaction, the nature of the jobs, visiting properties and much more. Mm. You know, how has this affected graduate recruitment there?
A lot, actually. I think one of the biggest challenges for us is, and this is something that the other attendees may not know, but our graduates, they are all sort of working towards being qualified as surveyors, and we work with the Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors, and part of that, after their 2 years of the graduate programme, they have to do a submission. And part of that submission is they need a certain number of days and a certain number of experience to be able to submit. And typically the submissions would happen in August. Now, for the grads that have been on furlough, we're in a really challenging situation whereby they may not meet those number of days to be able to submit to actually qualify this year. And that is going to have a knock-on effect for the grads that started last year as well. And part of the submission is also a variety of different experience. They have to sort of hit certain competencies. And again, if they've not been able to do the full 24 months of training, they're simply not going to have that. So keeping the momentum and keeping the grads who are on furlough engaged, you know, they've sort of worked close to 2 years, and they may have to delay, you know, their qualification for another 6 months. It's actually been quite challenging. You know, it's been, our firm is no different from the other firms, and you know, every graduate in real estate at this current time who's on furlough is obviously facing the same situation, but I think it's perhaps a slightly unique challenge for us. We are still keeping our 2020 grads. They will still be joining in September as planned, and very similar. You know, we've been doing webinars and lots of training and social sessions, which we've invited the incoming grads to join. So we've had some life stories, we've had some senior people within the business, and we've done a bit of a Q&A just talking about their jobs, their experience, some war stories, and the incoming grads and the current grads have really enjoyed that, and we've made sure that we've kept up training, and we've had some really interesting people sort of doing their life stories, so that's been important as well. When we are in the office in a normal situation on a Tuesday morning, I run a drop-in surgery session where I sort of sit in the communal area and grads can sort of pop by and just have a bit of a chat if they want to. And I've made sure that I've kept that running virtually, so people know that on a Tuesday morning, if they just want to phone, they absolutely can. And I think it just by really opening that informal environment has been really positive, because people think they sort of, oh gosh, I have to put in a half an hour with, you know, the early careers manager. Does it mean it's something bad? And actually sometimes the grads, they just want a bit of comfort and a bit of a chat. So we've really kept up that level of interaction. The interns are absolutely still going ahead. So we have been running virtual assessments, and it's actually been really interesting because very similar to Isabella and Louise is, you know, a lot of that recruitment is very social, you know, and there's a lot of it about, you know, sort of getting the candidates to, you know, be in a networking environment, and that is a big part of what we do. But what we've seen is some of the candidates that perhaps might typically be a little bit more introverted, perhaps a little bit more shy in those sorts of situations, have actually really flourished in the interviews, because they've had that one-to-one time, which they would normally get should we be doing this in an office environment. But actually, they've not felt as though they've been perhaps a little bit bamboozled, for want of a better word, by, you know, a lot of other extrovert sort of agency types that we do see. So actually it's been really interesting for us to take a step back and actually look at our interviewing process moving forward, actually, and when we do get it back into some sort of normality into the office, you know, is that networking, is that group activities sort of session that we do, how is that perhaps impacting some of the more introvert, what we would say, consultancy graduates, and actually allowed us a bit of reflection time on that as well. So we are going to be running a virtual, what we're calling, insights program for 3 weeks. So that's my big focus at the moment. And we're having a lot of different activities. So three of our, and I don't mind sharing, three of our values is people, place and planet. So we are getting them to do videos, and they have to sort of, they're going to be buddied up with somebody from the firm. They have to do a sort of a video interview with people perhaps from their local area on how COVID has affected retail space with shopkeepers, and then, or they could choose a place where they have to do a virtual viewing of a property. It could be commercial, could be their own house, and they have to pretend using a video camera that they are showing somebody around, or a planet, they have to do a virtual again sort of investigation into a development in their local area, and again they will be buddied up. So although we are saying it's an insights program, it's I really didn't want it to be lots of just sort of webinars and trainings. It's going to be activities, and it's going to be a really a good opportunity for them to show their own individual skills and understand a little bit more about, you know, about the firm and about the industry. And then when it's practicable, when it's safe, we will be inviting the interns in for a week or two of work experience later in the year. And I think just to the points that were made previously, understanding the real culture of the firm, you know, what the office looks like, the space, the common areas, all of those sorts of things, the cafe that we have, all of those things are really, really important to for the interns to get a feel of the office environment. I guess just for us, next steps, it's really looking at the careers fairs and how they're going to be running, and also the A-level results. I think, you know, we do rely not just on academics, but I think it's something that we're all going to have to perhaps look at, is this cohort of students that are coming through that haven't had an opportunity to put their revision into practice and have their A-level results, and what impact will that have on people's CVs with perhaps lack of work experience, lack of internships that we would typically look for in the next 2 to 3 years as these grads start coming through. So it's going to be really interesting, I think, to see, you know, one of the questions we've been asking during the internship interviews is, you know, what have you been doing to keep yourself occupied, and have you learned any new skills, and actually seeing how people have either embraced or not this period of uncertainty and period of change. And we have seen some interns or grads that perhaps had internships lined up in professional companies over the summer are working as delivery drivers, and actually that's fantastic, and they're coming out with all these stories of people that they've met, and I think that is really sort of showing you know, different characteristics that are great.
Yeah, inevitably they need to have a good solid answer when you guys ask them, you know, what did they do in lockdown. And we've spoken to lots of graduates trying to find ways forward, and for some it can be a very steep learning curve, and they can easily slip into a negative mindset, but others are taking the bull by the horns and you know, doing part-time work, learning a new skill online just so they're moving forward. So that's, you know, that's very challenging, and all of you are giving them reassurance, checking in with them, and you know, that's going to go a long way with this cohort, I think. And their loyalty to you, because you've developed far closer relationships with them. It's interesting with you, Kate, that this actually has had a knock-on effect to last year's cohort, because they can't do their 24 months. How do they think?
So we this week is actually quite an important week for us. We're waiting on final information from the Royal Institution of Chartered Surveyors, RICS, who are our governing body, who are looking to give some advice on whether or not people can submit, instead of it being sort of beginning of August, if it's perhaps pushed back to September or October, that may give grads an extra sort of 40, 50, maybe even 60 days to hit that experience, and if they've been on furlough for, you know, perhaps a month or two, they may be able to hit those sort of 460 days. Please don't quote me on that. That they need over those 24 months. So we're sort of waiting on that at the moment. I think people are being quite. They have to be pragmatic about it. There's not a lot we can do if you don't have the number of days. You simply don't have the number of days. And what we are very keen as a firm is that we do not want to at all challenge the integrity of the final assessment. You know, we don't want this cohort of grads to be seen as the ones that sort of slip through the net with less experience or less knowledge. If the institute sort of directs that actually you need to defer, that's what we will do, because that's, you know, that's the right thing. We want to make sure that the grads have the right experience, and we want to maintain, as I said, the integrity, the knowledge, and the professionalism of the firm and the experience that our grads get. And I think, you know, they are absolutely on board with that. It's not a decision that we would take lightly or Rick's would take lightly. And they're ultimately in the same boat as all of the other firms and graduates from the other firms. But I think it's about communication. It's about engagement. It's about keeping up, you know, training, keeping them interested with the socials that we're doing. The senior leadership team have, you know, been absolutely integral in that messaging, and they've been great with doing some of the life stories and sort of weekly check-ins that we've had as well. But no, it's not an easy message, and it's going to take a lot of sort of considered communication over the next couple of weeks as we sort of work with grads, some of whom may be able to sit if they'd perhaps started slightly earlier 2 years ago. And we do offer opportunities for grads, instead of to start their grad scheme in the September. Some are able to start in the June or the July, literally post-graduation if they want to. For yeah. those grads, they may have enough days. So it's going to be a really fine line here. So I will keep you all posted with what happens.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting. And, you know, things have moved so quickly.
Yeah.
In, you know, in such a short space of time, and all of you have responded accordingly, and you're hitting your stride, and you're even starting to look, you know, further long term as to how you can keep this momentum going. And it's also positive to hear that, you know, you are still recruiting, you haven't revoked offers. And I think it's just this whole episode is going to affect how jobs are performed, you know, be it virtually or not. So I think the jobs are there, but it's just the way they are performed is probably going to be changing for a lot of graduates this year. Okay, so we've got a few questions come in. We've got 10 minutes, so I'm going to pick off a few now. There's one from Sarah Rust. Hello, Sarah. Thank you for your question. What tips would you give to someone looking to change to virtual assessment centres? Perhaps Louise, you could answer that one.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say just find the right sort of platform that works for you, and definitely do your testing beforehand. So we did lots of different testing with all of the assessors who were going to be involved in the virtual assessment centre to make sure that everything worked and ran smoothly for them, and we had someone else dialing in as a mock candidate. And I'd just say, just make sure you really do the testing to make sure everything runs smoothly on the day, just to give off that good impression to the candidates.
Good
I think, sorry, Doug, just going to jump in. I was going to say, I think training as well for the assessors for us has been really, really critical. I think, you know, we do a lot of training for the assessors on sort of general interview techniques and things like that. But actually, when all of the things that we learn, you know, the shaking hands and the eye contact and sort of that confidence, you don't see that. And actually looking at that and finding the right questions and being able to sort of draw out those skills online is very different. So I think training with the assessors has been really important for us as well.
Brilliant. Thanks, Kate. Isabella, have you anything to add on that?
No, because we haven't done any virtual assessment centres, but online interview training and stuff like that.
Okay. And Risha?
No, I think I'm in agreement with working on technology that actually works for you. I think that's like really key. I think that's all for me.
Yeah. There's a lot of platforms out there, and you have to find the right one for you. And like you say, Kate, make sure everyone's trained up. It's really important. Thank you. I hope that's answered your question, Sarah. We have another question from Kristen Rostron. Hi, Kristen. Question is, do you have any tips for virtual onboarding? Have any of you actually done that yet?
Yeah, I'm happy to take that one.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think the tips is it does take quite a lot of sort of organizing and ownership from sort of hiring managers itself. So I think typically on board in our organization at least would be led by sort of HR and onboarding specialists, and you know the hiring managers or the immediate line manager would kind of come in on sort of day three after they've been inducted. But on virtual onboarding, I think the first stage is the education from everybody who needs to be involved. So that's probably was a starting point for us. And then secondly, again, if you know, it's all down to what systems and technology you're using. So we use Microsoft Teams and found it to be quite, easy to be set up. We also then created some sort of web-based videos as well. Again, most of them were just recorded from our own homes. With some sort of Teams backgrounds, sort of almost which was, obviously talking to the people as opposed to them reading a PowerPoint or saying this is where you can find X, Y, Z. So I think we had the decks available. So, you know, you obviously have them from your session that you run in person. But then sending them off, we kind of powered those with videos. We actually just use technology in-house, which is for us was Microsoft Teams. So we actually didn't go ahead and install anything extra. But yes, we kind of brought together, every sort of cohort of new joiners for the month. We actually had about 2 to 3 calls with their line managers, who typically would need to be now spending time with them on the day, blocked time off in their diary. So we educated them, gave them a plan where it was going to look like, showed them a workflow, and then went ahead and sort of blocked time in everybody's diaries and got these sessions set up, as opposed to doing it the other way around.
Good, thank you very much. Anyone else offer any advice for virtual onboarding?
We've not got to that stage yet. It'll be September when we start that doing that.
Okay.
Yeah, same for us with, sorry, go on.
No, you go.
I think for us, the biggest challenge has really been sort of around IT and equipment and things like that. But we've sort of been couriering IT and laptops and making sure that people have got them and it's all set up. And, it has actually run very, very smoothly. But similar to Louise, it will be September with the grads, the biggest cohort of sort of close to 40. And that'll be our biggest virtual onboarding. But by the end of September, we actually just don't know what that would look like. Typically, we would have a 3-day induction program in the office. Whether we're going to have to do that in groups across different days, in different stages, we're just going to have to wait to see what the regulations are around that.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing that really worked well for us, which we kind of was the fact that we had individuals join on the same day. So this is just as company policy as well. We had very little what we call offsite starters. So in this period, we definitely sort of nailed that down. I think probably had one or two, and this is across experienced hires, but obviously the grad and early cohorts always come together. So we clubbed the apprentices, and obviously we haven't inducted them in yet because they start in September, but we basically changed the staff actually to put it forward, so the whole batch starts together, which is working, which has worked for us for now.
Brilliant. Good. Okay, thank you very much. We've had a a few questions about what your plans are for the autumn with regard to career fairs. Now, GRB go to about 40 career fairs, and a lot of them are going to be virtual. So, you know, we've got to decide what we do. Have you made a decision yet regarding career fairs this season?
We're going to do all the virtual
ones. I was actually in... Well, sorry, go
on. Oh, no, you go.
No, no, it's fine. Go on.
So we're going to do all the virtual careers fairs as well. We just made the decision that even if some of our team felt comfortable going to university, we just didn't feel like students would want to go around, pick up brochures, touch like the freebies they're giving away. It just wouldn't happen. Right. So we're going to do everything online, but we've definitely kind of taken note that there's going to be an element of saturation in online, especially at careers fairs and all employers doing all their online activity. So it's kind of going to take us being a little bit more creative, and also just kind of, I think we're a little bit nervous to see how with the online careers fairs, you manage waiting time for students that want to talk to you, because I mean, we're not even a massive brand, but we still have quite a few people at the stand, and we're kind of wondering how that's going to work online. Will people get in a queue to talk to us, and then if it's too long, will they just give up? So it's going to be kind of interesting. That's probably where our nerves are about it.
Yeah, that's interesting with, you know, the branding. You know, a big company who rolls up that's well known, you know, may not have that, but you know, if it's done virtually, companies that are less well known, it, you know, it might be harder for them to connect with students, where, you know, at a fair you can leap out in front of them. So yeah, it does present some challenges depending on your company. Anyone else like to add what they're doing this season with regard to career fairs?
Yeah, so we're definitely,
I was actually involved
to some of them. I think we're still ascertaining which ones, but just a point on virtual or on a career fair in general. So I attended the very first one that we hosted. It was not early, as it was a global tech virtual conference, and I was very, very nervous, but it actually is quite seamless, and I think it gave us a really nice sort of candidate and an employer experience, probably better than what I would have at a stall. And the queuing up, I don't know who was it who mentioned, but actually can quite easily be managed by you moderate it. So you actually see, so we split the task across the team. So it was over 3 days. And so we as a country hosted one day. And I have to say, I was very nervous, but it to me at the end of it felt like it was actually a much better experience than, because we were able to actually have much longer conversations with people coming in. And from feedback, they were actually, because everybody's at home, and you know, they were able to actually go to each and every employer, virtual employer listed on there, which was only 20 in that one. So I think, yeah, we've had a bit of a rehearsal, it seems. So, you know, we're less nervous about attending these now.
Yeah, that's interesting that you had actually longer dialogues with
yes.
Absolutely.
Or sometimes they were just listening in to what we were presenting. And we did info sessions, I don't know, about two a day, which we sort of presented, and we had about up to 50 people watching, because you can see who's watching you. And then it's up to them if they come in and talk to you. So as I said, it was the first time I'd been on Career Fair. We were hosting. I have attended one or two since the lockdown, but it was a very positive experience for everybody who's nervous about it. I think you'll probably find yourself in a very similar situation like me, which you may just enjoy it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Louise, what's your take on this?
It was just quite topical because I was involved with a careers event yesterday with Lancaster University. So that was my first virtual one. But it wasn't, I guess, like a traditional careers fair. It was more we were assigned an hour's slot. And we did it in conjunction with CIMA, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, who we, like, that's the qualification we put our finance graduates through. And it was more a case of us having some time aside to do a presentation. So it's a presentation on CIMA, a presentation on BAE. And then it was just opened up to Q&A for the students to post questions and for us to answer them. So that's how it ran yesterday.
And it worked well?
It did, yeah. Yeah, it went very smoothly. It was delivered via Microsoft Teams. And yeah, there was a lot of students that joined the session.
Good, that's good. Well, the numbers are up and the engagement's up. That's encouraging. Kate, have you booked any fairs virtually or not?
No, we haven't. I think we're probably slightly different in that we're very much led by some specific universities that do real estate degrees, which typically have been our target universities. And people know who we are. You know, if you're studying real estate, you know who Knight Frank is. And I think for us, those careers fairs are really important to actually sort of just be talking to the grads. And again, it's that sort of interaction. It's understanding about the culture and lost my earphone there, the work that we do. I think for the wider universities that we are now looking to attract that don't do real estate degrees, we've got a sort of a whole new piece of work really on just education about the real estate industry as much as about Knight Frank. So how we do that, whether it's through videos that we've started to produce, sort of beefing up our website, all of those sort of things for people to really go and actually find out about the industry and about us as a brand and as a firm. And then how that translates to the careers fairs, I think is perhaps the next stage for us almost as we look to start to encourage and attract a very different group of students who are not currently studying a real estate degree.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you all for sharing your insights today and for everyone in attendance today from the Graduate Recruiters Network. Thank you for your support. This has been recorded, so this will be available for on demand as well. Our next event is on Wednesday, the 1st of July, so in 2 weeks' time. Same time. It's going to be 9 till 9:30, slightly different one this time. We've got a non-executive director called Alex Arnott, who works with lots of recruiters, and he's going to be sharing his insights into how he thinks talent is going to rebound in the near future. So we'd love to have you along to that webinar on Wednesday, the 1st of July. Thank you again to our panel. I know we've all got busy schedules, so I'll let you all crack on. Have a lovely day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.